The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to get in your word. Ask you, Father, to remove your servant, that you can say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you comfort us. For those of us who need conviction, I pray you convict us. Thank you for the blessing of your word, and it is true. And Father, through your servant today, may we see and understand just a little about what you're trying to say to us, and that it would change our life and our perspective. In your son's most precious and glorious name, we all say. Heard an amen, you know they're visiting. They can feel at home now. Chapter 13, book of John. Chapter 13. There's several things that we've already established. Chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 all happened in one night. All in one night. And do you understand that that night, in all those chapters, Jesus was trying to do something, trying to show something, trying to reveal something to the disciples that was in that room. And you know what? All 12 failed to get it. All 12 failed to get the message. And one of the 12 refused to even believe in Jesus. How hard is it for you to realize that someone you have tried over and over and over again to show you love them don't see it? How is it for you and I to grab the concept of what Jesus is doing, and he had to do it with Peter? We've already proven that why Peter changed his mind about having his feet washed. I believe it was because of the whole conversation that evening and what Jesus said to Peter. You know what? Satan has desired to sift you. That's enough to make anybody change their mind. Can I have an amen? You would hope. Didn't work for Judas. But can you see the love? Can you imagine the love that Christ is trying to show that evening? Can you imagine how Jesus must have had one of the greatest efforts? And we're going to show here as we walk through 13. Of saying, Judas, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do this. And you just see that there are some people in our world that regardless of what you do, they're not going to see that you really care, that you really love them, and that you really want the best for them. They won't see it. And don't ever just think it's you. It's them. And you know, it's bad enough to try to love someone right, but can you imagine trying to show your love wrongly? Verse 11. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. Judas is sitting there at the dinner, and Jesus says, I can't say all of you are clean. And how would you like to be in that room and hear Jesus say something like that? And knowing it's you. Oh, Judas wasn't blind. Judas knew what he was going to do. Planned on it well. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and put them back on and was seated again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, because I am. If I then, your master and your Lord, have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. Woo, no. Can I get an amen? I don't like some people's feet. There's some ugly feet in this world. And some of you know it because you own them. Come on now. Wash each other's feet. No, I can wash somebody's hands. I can wash somebody's face. But I'm not into that feet stuff. You got acorns sitting on top of them toes. You want me to wash them? Give me a pretty girl's feet. One they use in the magazines. When my kids were young, especially one of them, they didn't say magazine, they said mazagines. I want some magazines, feeties. Come on, tell me about it. I want them already manicured. I think they call it pedicure for feet, right? See, I'm educated. But we make excuses, don't we, for not washing each other's feet. We come up with them excuses. You know, God never asked us whether we lack feet or not. Well, I don't want to wash his feet. You know, he's black. Mm-mm. I mean, it's not that I'm prejudiced or nothing. Just I don't like black people. They smell. No. Then you got on the other side, black people. White people, no. Smell like chicken soup. Lord, you just pushing too far on that one now. Okay, hey, come on, give me to me.
Be honest.
We're prejudiced.
Yes, we are.
Walk by some Hispanic Americans standing on the corner. One of them got green cars. I can't wash their feet. No, See, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about other churches. You know, you got to, we're church for all people here at Antioch, man. Yeah. It'd be something else. We come to church, man, and there's a black section, a white section, a Hispanic section, and who knows what section. And you have to sit in those seats. You know, it used to be that way down south. Even if you could come, you had a section, usually up top. Theaters was segregated. Whites at the bottom, blacks up top. We used to always throw stuff and spit. Somebody got some culture hit on them right there, boy. It was true. We'll make excuses for not washing people's feet and think we're righteous in it. But what did Jesus say? He called me master, then do what I do. If I did it for you, you need to do it. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than the Lord, his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you what? If you know him, you need to. Well, you know, I just, how about me missing today doing them? God, I know you're an example. I know we shouldn't feel like it, but I don't feel right today. You know, Jesus loved us so much, folks. I bet he didn't feel like getting on the cross. You think he felt like getting on the cross? Come on, talk to me. I can just see Jesus saying, can't wait till I get on the cross. Come on, bring it. Let's do it early. Let's hang me. I'm waiting. I can't. Woo! Help me. Put me up there. Come on. Put two nails in every place. You think he felt like that? Not at all. Do you think he was based what he's going to do for you and I on his feeling or on his love? So why can't we do that to each other? Oh, man. Can you imagine if you had a home where everyone in the home just loved one another? Enjoy being around one another? You come to our house. This is Second Sunday. It's dinner's at Antioch Second Sunday. What happens Second Sunday at Antioch? Fellowship and dinner. Do it. I don't feel like it. Nike even know that it works. Just do it. It ain't about feeling. It's about obedience. Everything we do. Do it. Can you imagine if everyone at your work loved each other? Wanted to be there? Hate for the 5 o'clock whistle to hit? In some cases, 1 o'clock at night and 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. Just love. What? We got to leave work. Man, I can't wait till tomorrow to see you. Can you imagine working at a place like that? How about church staff? Oh, Lord of Jesus. There's nothing in the world harder than having love be right on the church staff. You know why? Because the enemy hates it when you love one another in staff. Hates it. And we fight continuously, man, to make sure that those relationships are right. Fight, man, because it's a mess. Satan comes in and he loves to stir stuff up. Love to make that one staff member don't want to get the back of the next staff member. And if you really want to know what strife is, join a church staff. Join it. That's why most people, man, get involved with what's going on church staff and they want to leave. Because they don't understand the warfare that goes on inside there. But did God say love them because you feel like it? Because they're loving you first? It's kind of like which came first, the egg or the chicken, right? Well, if they do this, I do this. No, God is not into that. And can you imagine Jesus just pouring his heart out to these disciples that night? Pouring his heart out. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before all come that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Whenever God wants you to hear something and he wants you to hear it, God, like in verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Look down here in verse 20. Verily, verily. When he really wants you to get the point, he'll say it twice. Verily, verily. Means you better listen. I want you to understand and I want you to obey. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Now, how hard is it to understand that God loves everyone? I want you to get this, man, because I want you to see him just pouring his heart out to the 12. He hadn't cut Judas off. Judas is still sitting right there. He's washed Judas' feet. Can you imagine that experience of washing Judas' feet when he's trying to show him for the last time the love that he has for him? I don't know if he gave him an extra squeeze or just held on a little longer. I don't know. Last chance, Judas. You don't have to do this. Let me show you what I mean. Look at verse 21. When Jesus had said this, he was troubled in spirit. And testified, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. What if you're the one? Now, many of us as believers don't accept 30 pieces of silver. We'll never do that. But what do you accept? What do you sell out Christ for? Your personal relationship? Your PR? Your popularity? What do you sell Jesus out for? What do you give up the most and deepest love that could ever be given for you? I can't say that, man. They're going to misunderstand. They're not going to want to talk with me. They're not going to want to spend time with me. What? I'm going to ask you a question. Would you disciple a non-believer? Would you disciple a non-believer? Jesus was perfect, and he couldn't. Judas never believed. Now, if Jesus can't do it, why do you think you and I can do it? Oh, we don't call it discipling. You know. Come on, let's get personal here. It is, that girl needs Jesus. So I'm going to go out with her. Yes, right. So I can share Jesus. Can't hear you. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever seen a guy go out with a ugly girl to give her Jesus? I should say a non-magazine looking girl. Can't hear you, church. Thank you. Oh, yeah. You know, we go out with them girls because we like the way they look, and we'll use Christ as an excuse. We'll sell Christ out for that. How about a good-looking guy, girls? One of those Fabios. I know you don't want them girls say, ooh, that's a fine piece of flesh right there, and he needs to go to Jesus. I don't want to leave him down there burning, so I'm going to go out with him. I never seen a girl just pick an ugly duckling. They need Jesus too. So evidently, you know, you're stirring in your flesh. It says right here, because if Jesus does something he tells us not to do, that's sin, correct? So he was troubled in his spirit. Now, why are you troubling, Jesus? You tell us not to trouble. He said, yes, I'm troubling my spirit. When you trouble in your flesh. You see, I'm troubling because there's going to be one here that I've been showing love's going to reject me. Usually all the time Jesus is trouble, he's trouble over someone else not getting the message and not coming to heaven. You and I trouble over us not getting the message and not getting what we want. Jesus is trouble because one is going to reject him, and he's trouble because now he's going to have to reject that one. See, that's the difference between Jesus being trouble and you and I being trouble. Wow. Judas, please, can't you see my love for you? Then the disciples look one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Oh, yeah. Aren't they just like us? They're sitting there at the dinner. They're sitting there at the dinner, and Jesus says, one of y'all gonna, you're gonna betray me. Whoop. Heads and eyes are rolling. Who is it? Now, you don't make the Bible like us most of the time. So can I give you an example? Now, suppose I've been given some prophecies. Now, you know we don't believe in that here. Can I get an amen? This is a non-profit organization. We got to live that here now. We're going to live it. But just say that I have given 10 prophecies, and all 10 has been correct. Come on, talk to me. Be examples to our visitors. How we're supposed to get some response in church, sir. And I say, God just spoke to me. And one of y'all going to get killed on the way home after service. Do you think the concern level will go up right there? Do you think we'll be looking around? I wonder who it's going to be. I bet it's one of them ushers. They've been taking money and have bad sin in their lives. They're showing me to my seat and they can't get to their seat. Come on, talk to me. You tell me you wouldn't be. Come on. Process. And you know what? Some of y'all will still be sitting here next Sunday. You ain't gonna move till you get a report. Somebody's dead. And then you say, I knew it was them. the whole time, I knew who it was. Wow. Now look, watch this. Now you can understand when we get to it, what's going on at the dinner. You're gonna be able to picture it, what's going on at the dinner, because everyone's looking around. And do you think we would just be satisfied with just knowing that someone is gonna get killed on the way home? We want to start asking some questions. Yes. Honey, did we sin this week? Because you know God can have a car full. Yes. And you can get people all around. You can have 15 people in one car. And you sitting right in the middle of them. If you're the one, God will get you.
That's right.
Tree will come right through the top of the car and just smash you. Right. And you think you're safe. So we'll be asking questions like this. Now that was one leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Now John, you know, he gives that title to himself a bunch, the one that Jesus loved. Well, John, I hate to tell you, bro, but Jesus loved all the disciples. Yeah, but I'm special, because when they ate at the dinner, they leaned to the right. And guess who's sitting on Jesus' left? Can't hear you. John. Leaning in Jesus' bosom. Oh, yeah, look at me. I'm next to the man. So what happened? Peter, he falls right into it. Peter, therefore, looked over at my boy who was leaning in Jesus' bosom and, kind of, yo. He would probably say it in Greek. Yo. Ask him who it is, man. John, I want to keep calling him John the Baptist, John the Apostle. He's leaning on Jesus like that. He goes, who is it? Can I have an amen? Would you ask Jesus, who is it? You know what? Because I'd be afraid to ask Jesus who is it. You know why I'd be afraid to ask Jesus who is it? Because he may look back over like this. Yeah, I know. And you're going to know in a minute. It's you. I mean, it could have come back. Yes. Can have an amen. Jesus could have busted my boy right at the table. Yes. Peter would have been cracking up too. I knew it. Wow. Now check this out. Where is Jesus leaning his head at dinner? Now, John the Apostle is right here. Jesus leaning away from to the next person. The next person is who?
Judas.
Jesus gave Judas the honor seat for the last evening to try to prove to him again how much he loved him. Judas, do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than the land you're getting ready to buy? I just want to know, Judas, you don't have to do this. Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot. Then Satan entered Judas. Two disciples that night had to deal with Satan. Peter had to deal with Satan. He passed the test. Judas didn't. When Jesus says, I'm going to pray that your faith not fail you, Peter. See, he can't pray that for Judas because Judas didn't have any faith. You ask the question, did his faith fail? No. He denied him three times, but he came back. He held on. That faith held on. Because if he didn't hold on, there would be the one prayer of Jesus that wasn't answered. So we know he didn't fail. But Judas did. And after the sop, now I call it the longest stretch in the world. I call it the longest reach in the world. I call it the longest desire in the world, the longest love distance that was possible when Jesus was getting ready to hand Judas that sock. All the way, every inch, can you hear Jesus' love saying, Judas, you don't have to do it. But God, but Pastor, he had to do it. He had no choice. No, he did have a choice. Judas, you got a choice, me or Satan, bro. If I get to your mouth, it's going to be Satan. What reach do we have to have? Here goes Judas. Here you go, Jane. Here you go, Fred. Here you go, Bob. Here you go, Hutch. If I get this to your mouth, you're the one. If your checking account and banking account is not right and you don't want to accept that, okay, then take the sop. Your health's not good and you don't want to accept it, then take the sop. Things aren't going well and God, that ain't right. You see, it's one thing to be rejected by those who don't know you. It's another thing to totally be rejected by someone that says they do. I've had people, you guys know, I've had more threats to my life than Van Camp's got pork and beans. But they're enemies. They don't know me. You don't want people saying things like that to you. I got a syringe for you and I'm going to shoot you up with AIDS. You better watch out. I'm going to get you. That's just this year, a couple of months ago. How you can understand that? But when someone has been with you and has sit in your house and have eaten with you and you have prayed together and you have made sacrifices for them, sacrifice for the children, and you have gone out of your way and you have loved them and you have cried together and you put your arms around them and they stab you in the back and say words about you that non-believers don't even say. Here's Jesus. One of his disciples stabbing him in the back. Jesus said, it's he. And the way they're sitting, the only one knows that he's even going to reach that way and tell is because Jesus and John had that private conversation. But John can't really see Jesus turn and give it to Judas because of that way it's situated and things are going. So he didn't know even. And the reason why I know is because the scriptures tell us, look what it says. And after the sop, Satan entered him, then said Jesus unto him, whatever you do, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy some things that we may have here for the feast, or that he should go give something to the poor. Here is Judas, and he not only has the honor seat, he's got all the trust of all the disciples. He's the treasurer. He handles the money. Do you give all your savings, all your money to someone you don't trust? I can't hear you. Because if you do, you need some counseling. Get in here. Hey, trust it. You know, look at the paintings of the Last Supper. And look at the picture, the guy that's supposed to be Judas. You know he always has a frown on his face in those pictures? And I think that is a big falsehood. I bet he is cheesing like nobody else. I'm going to get that last bit of money to buy that land. And don't think he sold it for 30 pieces of silver, that land. That's what he owed. My boy been stealing out of the bag, I think, the whole time. And loving, and Jesus is leaning, and he's begging, don't do it. Can you see I love you? I'm reaching. He took it. Go and do what you got to do quickly. Love failed on a hard heart. How about yours? How about your heart? Is it going? Is it okay? Is it okay? Are you hard? Are you putting up some walls? You refuse to forgive. Verse 30, and he then having received the salt, went immediately out, and it was night. Now watch the conversation. From now on, now that Judas is gone, the conversation changes. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, he waited till Judas was gone and said, my little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and you're going to seek me. And I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot go. Now I'm going to say it to you. Here comes a new commandment just to you who has received my love and understanding. Even though you're going to run tonight, even though fear is going to override you, I give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. That way, love one another. Tough to do. Tough to do. Even on a church staff. Can I get an amen? To love one another as Jesus loved us. Oh, we can come up with some negatives about people, can't we? Check this out now. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Check it out, man. Come over anytime. Sometimes just drop in. You won't be able to get into the house unexpectedly because we got dogs. You have to ring the bell out front of the gate. But you know what, man? I'm going to tell you. You just see a family that loves one another. We do it without a lot of things at the Hutchinson House, but we never do without love. We can laugh. Lord, know we can laugh. Together. And that's that. And nothing stirs my heart, guys, like hearing my wife laugh out loud. Oh, that woman, man, she wants me to melt. She can just when she has just a belly laugh. You know what I'm saying? When it just comes out, she goes, yeah, oh, like a sister, a vanilla sister. Look at you. I love that white woman, boy. Put a rock in the hospital and kill a brick for her. And sometimes I can get selfish. Let's close. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, you can't go. I'm coming. No, you can't go now, but you understand afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? You ever have some of them Christians that keep on asking? Can't hear you. You try to say something. No, I don't want to get out of there. Who is it? No, I think you know, because we should hold it. Nah. I want it out. I love this one. I have a silent prayer request. Would you pray for me? Sure, what is it? What's a silent prayer request, bro? It's silent. God knows. I'm not telling you. That's why it is silent. Well, I can't pray for it. I don't know what it is. I have a prayer then, quick crash. Pray for your nosiness. You guys want to come on out and join us? Well, they're happy in there. They must be loving one another. I go with you. Jesus said, really? Oh, you'll lay down your life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock will not crow before you unlove me three times. Now, what did Jesus say to him? Now, we hear the word deny. Amen? You're going to deny me three times. You know what Jesus is saying? Because remember when Jesus came back and was talking to Peter? Get this now. He didn't say, Peter, why did you deny me? Did he?
No.
What was the question?
Do you love me?
Peter, do you love me? He said, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. The third time he says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was frustrated and he said, you know I love you. Do you understand the conversation that was going on between Jesus and Peter? Most Christians don't understand what was going on. Let me tell you what was going on. Jesus says, Peter, do you agape me? Peter said, you know I phileo you. Agape is, do you love me unconditionally? Phileo is, I love you as a brother. City of Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Phileo, that's where it comes from. He asked him a second time, Peter, do you agape me? He said, you know I phileo you. And the third time, God says, Peter, do you phileo me? He said, I'm frustrated, Lord, because I said the last two times I phileo you. See, God isn't interested in us just phileoing him like a brother. Nice, it's convenient. He wants an unconditional love, which is from you and me. And he showed it to Judas, and it was rejected. Oh, I hope none of you are feeling that God has rejected you. As long as you can breathe, he agape you. And he never wants to reject you like he had to do Judas. Do you think God loved Judas so much that if Judas would have repented even after selling him out, God would have forgiven him? Yeah. He sure would. That's love, isn't it? And you and I take it for granted. We have it. I just want to know one thing. What are you doing with it? I'm giving it away so I can get some more. That sounds selfish. And it is. But I want some more Jesus love. And then you can only get so much. It's like calories. That's why I try to eat my daily amount of calories the first hour I get up, and the rest is just presents. The rest of it is just excess. The body just throws them out. I'm sorry. We're a little late. But this is the last service. Can I have an amen? And there's nothing better than talking about Jesus. That's right. I'm sorry. I love myself some Jesus, and I want to share him with you. Father, thank you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.